You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another show of Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, where we're offering skilled nursing and physical therapy rehab to anyone that you know that might need it. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emter. Dr. Emter, how are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm very glad. I'm so excited about today's show. I honestly am. I know I say that a lot, but today's show is really cool. I'm kind of slightly jet lagged a little bit, but I'm sure that we'll be okay. I just got back from a trip to Korea.
Wow. So, how many hosts and co-hosts go to Korea for the weekend?
Well, you know, I'm a jet setter. That's just kind of what we do. No, it was golf related, which is my past life playing golf. So I was working with a golf company over there. But I want to give you a little bit of crap, for lack of a better word. Because as I'm at the airport, I would like our audience members to know I was texting Dr. Emter that I was getting on a flight. And right before I get on this flight, he says, you know what? We're going to talk about like wheat and gluten for the next show. So I think you should download Wheat Bellies. And so I did. And I read it on the flight there. And let me just say, going to Korea and not eating any wheat all weekend is what I did. So I can't say that it ruined my trip, but it made me question everything that I was eating. So
we're making progress here. Yeah. We're not allowing you to eat meat.
I know.
We're cutting you down to one glass of wine a day.
And soda. We're
now,
talking about my soda.
You can't eat any pasta and bread. So it looks like it's going to be, you know, flavored colored ice cubes.
Yes, absolutely. Ice cubes. But all good reasons, because I'm super excited. The show is full of information for our audience listeners out there. And for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, this is a really good show to tune into. I mean, just as far as the show in general, Aging Redefined, what we're doing is basically trying to answer those questions to get us aging in a healthier way. What do you call it, Dr. Emter? Healthy aging is really what we're saying.
Yeah, healthy aging works.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a group called anti-aging, but it sounds like they're against aging. So it doesn't make sense.
And so we would have no hope against conquering that group. Yeah, because it's just going to happen anyway. But so, you know, if you're aging, which I'm sure you are, or you have parents that are aging, this show really aims to answer any questions that you might have.
And it really beats the alternative of not aging. Because then you're dead.
That's one way to look at it. I appreciate that perspective. Yes, very nice, very nice. So before we kick off that great show that we have today, which is I kind of slightly segued into it. We have a great guest on today. Dr. Aiello will be here, and we're going to be talking about kind of the gluten thing that's out there. I don't want to say craze because it's so much deeper than that. There are serious elements to this. But before we kick that into gear, how about I do what's new in medicine?
That'd be great.
What do we think? Okay. All right. So here we go. There's new information out there that says a popular sleep drug could affect how we recall memories. Sleep researchers at UC Riverside and UC San Diego, yay for local intelligence, right? Ran the study to determine that a sleep feature known as sleep spindles, which are bursts of brain activity that last for a second or so during specific stages of sleep, are important for emotional memory. But basically, for the study, the participants were shown standardized images known to elicit positive and negative responses for 1 second before and after taking supervised naps. They were able to recall more images that had negative or highly arousing content after taking Zolpidem, which is Ambien, right? Okay. The researchers were surprised by the results and what it meant for people with anxiety disorders and post-traumatic stress disorder. If those people already have heightened memory for negative and high arousal memories, these sleep drugs might be improving their memories for things they don't want to remember. The study opens up a whole can of worms as the Department of Defense uses these drugs to help our men and women calm down. But now it looks like they could have counter-therapeutic effects, which is kind of scary, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do like Ambien, though. It's really good on a long flight to Korea. Anyway, moving on. This one's my favorite. It's about chocolate. I hope I got everybody's attention out there because I'm certainly all ears about this one. According to Penn State researchers, a few cups of hot cocoa may not only fight off the chill of a winter's day, but could also help obese people better control inflammation-related diseases, such as diabetes. We should have had this one last week. Totally goes with our... Yeah, this is really exciting, though. Here's how the test went down. Mice were fed a high-fat diet, and then half of them were given a supplement that was the equivalent to 10 tablespoons of cocoa powder, which is about 4 or 5 cups of hot cocoa during a 10-week period. How great is it to be a mice? A mouse? Sometimes.
I'll pass on that one.
I guess I have hot chocolate at home, so I could pull that off myself. But anyway, the research determined that there wasn't as big of an effect on the body weight as they expected, but there was a dramatic reduction of inflammation and fatty liver disease. The mice had about 20% lower plasma insulin levels than the other mice. And as we learned from last week, high insulin levels can signal that the patient has diabetes. The cocoa powder supplement also reduced the levels of liver triglycerides in the mice by a little more than 32%. So high triglyceride levels are a sign of fatty liver disease and are also related to inflammation and diabetes. And to top it off, the mice saw a slight but significant drop in the rate of body weight gain. So it's like magic, which I'm totally taking to the bank. I want to note, though, that most obesity researchers tend to steer clear of chocolate because it is high in fat and sugar. But cocoa powder is low in fat and sugar, and it contains a lot of polyphenolic.
Polyphenols and probably bioflavonoids and antioxidants,
right,
which are really great anti-inflammatory natural compounds.
Right. It's like it said it was analogous to things like green tea and wine, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Wine and chocolate—that's just sounds lovely.
I like a Barbarossa, with dark red wine.
Listen to you, some Lindt chocolate, maybe like 85%. That's my kind of stuff. So, kind of in conclusion, things can always too much of a good thing can be bad. So, just kind of watch your consumption of hot chocolate, as I like to say.
Did they talk about the dental cavities in the rats? Did they have more dental cavities?
No, but that's a good point. That's something that we should maybe make note of.
Yeah,
we can talk about that on another show.
Brush your teeth after.
As all the dentists in San Diego love Dr. Emder right now. Go see your dentist. But continuing on, you said that you have something you want to talk about, too, that there's something that came out.
As the audience probably from our earlier shows know that I'm a vegetarian. I was a card-carrying carnivore for only about, 63 years. But there's a study out of Loma Linda University, which is
local.
Up in Riverside.
Yeah.
And their population are many Seventh-day Adventists. And in that church, they tend to be a lot of vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And they looked at the diet of, 70,000 people over a 6-year period. Mm-hmm. And you ready for this? We need a drum roll for this. All vegetarians, there was a 12% decrease in death rate from all causes.
Wow.
So if you're a vegetarian, there's a 12% decrease risk of dying. And, that's me.
Yeah.
I don't want to die. But they broke it down even further. Okay. They looked at the vegans, and the vegans absolutely don't eat, any eggs, butter, or meat.
Dairy, right?
They have a 15% lower risk of death of any cause. The lacto-ovo-vegetarians, these are people that are vegetarians, but they do eat eggs and dairy products. Uh-huh. They came in at a 9% decrease in their death rate. Pesca vegetarians, that's me, because I eat some fish. 19% chance,
was that the highest? I forgot the quantity was for the first one.
The overall was 15. The vegans were 15% lower risk of death. Vegetarians that eat a little fish is a 19% decrease in death rate. And the semi-vegetarians were 8%. And don't ask me what a semi-vegetarian is.
I was just going to ask. That's me, 2 days a week.
So I think a semi-vegetarian is probably someone that maybe eats meat once or twice a week.
Okay.
So, this is huge. Everybody was looking for, the fountain of youth or some pill that you're going to live longer. Just become a vegetarian and, you're going to live 50% longer.
So when people make fun of you for eating ice cubes, you can just say, well, look, I'm going to outlive you.
Yeah. And right? No cavities.
But what about quality of life? Don't you crave... You don't crave the hamburger, a little In-N-Out?
Actually, what happens over time, your taste changes. And I'm basically zero cholesterol in my diet. So every once in a while, you know.
Cholesterol good? Or is it?
The animal fat is what we're trying to avoid.
Okay. Fake cholesterol. Because would cholesterol be... Cholesterol is kind of in a lot of things, isn't it?
I mean, there's sterols in plants, but they're generally healthier. The problem is, you know, cholesterol from an animal source is probably bad for our coronary arteries and our vascular structure.
Okay.
So and what I'm saying is when you change your diet, mm-hmm. You don't crave the cholesterol. And you know, I have cheated. You know, my sister-in-law is a card-carrying vegetarian her whole life. And I went to the Padres game last year, and I had to have a hot dog. So
that's like the worst thing you could have had. Like you could, if you're gonna give in, wouldn't you want a steak or something? You had a hot dog.
I had a hot dog, but it was good because I didn't enjoy it that much. So that was the last major meat I've had. So what I'm saying is your taste changes. So you know, I love a black bean burrito. What can I tell you?
Oh goodness gracious! Okay.
So probably in this study, there's probably other factors that are involved in the vegetarians, why they're living longer. Mm-hmm. Vegetarians tend to exercise a little bit more. They tend to be thinner. So there's other factors that are going on. But generally speaking, it looks like the vegetarian diet is winning out. Today on our other segment, we're going to be talking about other dietary changes that will go a long way to improving our lifestyles.
Yes, absolutely. I'm super excited about it. Super excited about it. So our audience out there, stay with us. We have an amazing show for you today. And when Dr. Aiello gets here, we're going to dig right into it. Dig, kind of like caveman eat, dig.
Yeah,
you get
that's
it?
Right.
That's I okay. That was a total stretch, but
I think he's
going to
talk about the caveman diet too.
Probably. Okay, so stay with us.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder.
Hello again.
Hi. We've got a really good show for you today, and it's very exciting. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Emder to get us started.
Well, we have a special guest and a good friend, Joseph Aiello, who's a physician that practices in the East County. And he is a graduate of UCLA, and that doesn't warm Kendra's heart.
Yeah,
she's from
USC. It hurts just a little bit, but that's okay.
I'm from Penn State, so it doesn't really matter to me. he trained at the University of Healthcare Sciences in Kansas City for his medical degree, then did his family practice training at Cleveland at Brentwood Hospital. And I'm familiar with the hospital because I trained at the Cleveland Clinic.
Did you train together?
No, the Cleveland Clinic
he's
is
a little before me. And
yeah,
you can't tell. Look at it. Yeah. Look at he's got like 3% body fat and doesn't eat meat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old enough. I could be his father. Maybe I am his father. Dr. Aiello is from the Center for Integrative Medicine, which is practicing integrative medicine in the East County. And he is going to talk to us about wheat. And I'm very interested to hear about this because being a vegetarian, you know, I don't eat meat. I don't mm-hmm. eat eggs. I'm eating a lot of vegetables. So if I cut out bread, you know, there's really nothing left for me to
eat. Ice cubes.
So, and ice cubes. Yeah, flavored ice cubes. So, Dr. Aiello, what is the big deal about wheat?
What is the big deal about wheat? Well, this started for me when I was at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine in December, and I heard a lecture by Dr. William Davis, who wrote the book Wheat Belly, and that sort of pieced together a lot of issues that I had seen through my practice. So he talked about how wheat has been genetically modified, and it's an issue for the different patients as far as what I feel is it's an inflammatory issue to people. And a lot of times people will think of a gluten issue being celiac disease, but what I'm finding in my practice is it's more of a gluten sensitivity that probably 80 to 85% of the population has.
Well, celiac disease is a rare disease.
Right.
Luckily it's rare, but I have a friend that has it. It's a severe weight loss, severe abdominal pain, and we thought he had cancer. He had to go on an absolute wheat-free diet. But a lot of people are worried about gluten, but is gluten sensitivity really that common?
Well, you take the celiac disease, and that's about 4% of the population, and it's a spectrum. Gluten sensitivity is a spectrum of people that have no sensitivity all the way to celiac. So you can have someone that has celiac disease where they can have severe issues, digestive issues, mental issues, and then you can have somebody that will have gluten sensitivity, and they will have the same issues, but to a lesser extent.
So is gluten in all wheat products?
Anything made with flour from wheat, whether it's sprouted wheat or whole wheat or whatever, has gluten in it.
And gluten is a protein?
Gluten's a protein, and the gluten's composed of two components. It's gliadin and glutenin.
Okay.
And the gliadin component is the molecule that is the issue. That's the problem.
So, like, I have Cheerios in the morning, that's out.
Bad news.
Okay, what about, I have Quaker Oats, hot cereal for breakfast.
You know, I was talking with Kendra about that. Oats have gluten, and I'm not sure that that's a good idea. Some people are very sensitive to it, and you don't know until you've tried going without it.
Let's break this down really quick. My main question is this. And the book slightly addresses it, so I kind of want to throw it at you. But people used to eat wheat a long time ago, and we didn't have any of these problems. So why all of a sudden are we encountering these gluten diseases? Why is everybody going gluten-free? Because I want to say that it's a craze, but I'm assuming there's a little more to it than that.
Yes, Kendra, that's a good question. This is not your great-grandmother's wheat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
About the 1950s and 60s, the government decided that they would create a wheat that was more productive to feed the different nations of the world. And so they started genetically modifying the wheat. And they were looking more for example, maybe wheat in those days produced 7 bushels of wheat per acre. And they were trying to increase that yield. And they were also trying to increase a wheat that was resistant to herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the modification process, it's not like they genetically modify food now where they pick one gene and target that gene. Nowadays, back then, I'm sorry, they would hit the wheat seeds with maybe cyanide or something very toxic, and they would go through they would change the genome dramatically, and they would try to grow the wheat, and whatever would grow, what they would end up with. And finally, they ended up with a wheat that was dramatically different. Traditional wheat is not the wheat that you see in the fields anymore. Traditional wheat is about 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
The kernels are very small. When the wind blows, it'll easily blow the wheat over. So the new wheat that they came up with is about 22 inches tall. The kernels are very large and the stems are very thick, but it grows about 70 bushels per acre, a dramatic
mm-hmm.
increase.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in the process of genetically modifying that wheat, they went from a wheat that had 14 chromosomes in it to a wheat that now has 42.
Wow.
Very different. Three times the number of chromosomes. And not only did they modify the wheat for yield and herbicidal properties, but they also ended up modifying the gluten molecule in that wheat, but they didn't test for it back then. And the gluten molecule, I feel, has become much more toxic to people than it used to be.
Is that an all wheat produced in the United States? Just certain
all wheat areas? In the world now is produced.
Oh, really?
You can't. There are now a small number of farms that are growing the old traditional wheat that I think will become much more popular once people understand the gluten problem. Mm-hmm. And these farms will then start to produce the wheat and people can start using it. But the issue with the wheat was, and why the companies like the new wheat, is because the old wheat is coarse. So the bread that comes from it is more coarse and dense. It's not, and that's another way that they changed the wheat, is the wheat that is grown now is very fluffy. I mean, through the 70s and 80s, they continued to modify the wheat to make this very fluffy and light wheat that creates like a Wonder Bread, a very fluffy, light bread and fluffy donuts and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's that wheat also. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, which is what, I mean, basically, you know, bread, we talk about daily bread. We talk about bread is just so much of our lives. And then you take it back to the Bible and they talk about the bread from the Bible. But how they describe it back then is how you're describing it now, you know, unleavened bread. And those are.
Right. It's like, more like a wafer.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Or even like the. I don't want to say pita bread, but you know, those kind of things. So granted, nowadays that does have, you know, that's got gluten.
And then,
too.
And then, so then what happened was, and the wheat became a big issue because I think what the food companies started testing their food to see that they, if they could use wheat as a filler to see if it would enhance the flavor of the food. But what they found was that it didn't necessarily enhance the flavor in food testings, but that people ate more of it. So now you have a food a product that they will put in all the different foods because people will eat more. And so then Dr. Davis looked in and he thought, well, why is this? Well, as they did research on the gluten molecule and specifically the gliadin component, they find that gliadin mimics narcotics. So it's a weak stimulant of the narcotic receptors in the brain. So you have narcotic receptors in the brain. The gliadin molecule attaches to them, and it does several things. It makes people happy. It makes
them. That's a good thing.
That's good to a little bit's good, but not a lot.
Right, and for a brief period of time.
Right, it makes them. It satiates them.
What does that mean?
It satisfies their hunger.
Oh, okay.
It gets them addicted to it. Like a narcotic.
Yay.
And they get withdrawals when they try to go off of it. Now, it's not a strong type of issue thing, but
right.
So people can go off of it, but they still have some of those withdrawal issues when they try to go off the gluten. So
right.
Basically,
like people will crave wheat.
Yes. They're so addicted to it. They are addicted to it just like a narcotic. But even more importantly is research has shown that people that take narcotics as a medication eat 400 calories more a day than people who are not on narcotics.
Huh.
So now you have a food with a molecule that mimics narcotics, that satisfies people, gets them addicted, and they will now eat more. So what happened? In the 50s and 60s, you had the modification happen. In the 70s and 80s, you started with this epidemic of diabetes and obesity and a lot of other issues. So when I have my patients go off wheat and gluten, it's not just for overweight or other issues. It can be if patients have sinus issues or asthma or skin rashes or joint aches. Irritable bowels is big.
How come like the FDA doesn't come out, or the government come out and say, you know, I mean, you shouldn't eat so much wheat? So there must be a little political issues going on here.
You think?
Oh, the government's going to love you, Dr. Emmer.
Right. But you know, the word's coming out. The word is getting out. And more importantly, it's driven by the patients. It's not just, hey, it's an idea of different doctors and whoever. The patients, we explain it to them, they try it. And if you try it, it doesn't take more than 2 or 4 weeks before you understand what it means to your body.
Wow. Wow.
You know, what really got me in reading this book, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Dr. Emder, right before I got on a plane flight, he recommended I read this Wheat Bellies. And one thing that really stuck out to me, because I'm not into the whole fad diets. I mean, when we started talking about, the Atkins diet came out, I was like, nah, you need carbs to a certain extent or whatever. But this struck me because in describing the addiction, there were things that hit me really hard that happened to me. Like it talked about when you eat breakfast, do you ever get hungry 2 hours later? You know, if you eat certain things. And I know I'll have a bagel in the morning and that is heartier than a couple eggs. I know that it is, but in a couple hours, my stomach is just grumbling, you know? And it talks about that saying the same thing for lunch and dinner. And I'm realizing like when I give into that kind of bread, those are the reactions that I'm having. And, you know, of course, you've got some symptoms, like you've got some stomach issues and some of the other things in the book that I would really like us to address, you know, in the next segment of the show are happening to me. And so love to hear some stories from you as well. So for our audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back with Dr. Aiello and continuing to talk about, you know, what's wrong with gluten.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right, I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care. Just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by Dr. Larry Emder and Dr. Aiello. We're talking today about being gluten-free. Specifically, I just finished the book Wheat Bellies, and gosh, there's some really good information there. So the first part of the show, we've been going over exactly what, you know, what is gluten? Why is it different than it used to be? Because we're talking about, Dr. Aiello, you were saying it's not your grandmother's wheat anymore, right? But at the same time, it's causing some problems because it's, you know, genetically modified and getting addictive. So people are eating a little bit more, but still hungry. So I finished the last segment of the show saying, you know, I'll have a bagel in the morning. And I know 2 hours later, even though I had a hearty thing for breakfast, I'm starving. So why is that?
Right, Kendra. That comes to, at the beginning of the segment, you talked about one of your guests that had, last week, had talked about insulin.
Yes.
And elevated insulin levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens when you eat a meal that has a lot of gluten in it, mm-hmm. basically that flour to your body is essentially just sugar.
It's not trapped
in any kind of fiber or anything. It's just long chains of sugar that your body digests immediately as soon as you eat it. So what happens is your body, you eat a bagel and your sugar spikes.
Okay.
And with that sugar spike, your insulin spikes.
Okay.
And what is your body's trying to chase that insulin to drive that sugar. Your body's chasing the sugar with the insulin to drive that sugar down. So now you've eaten a high carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
Now your insulin spikes, your sugar is driven down, your insulin overrides overdoes the lowering of the sugar. takes about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Your sugar goes below a comfortable level and you get hungry again.
Oh, okay. Peaks and valleys. Peaks
yes.
and valleys. Okay.
So you're getting these spikes. So so that's why those carbs are not good. And at the end of the show, we'll talk about what is good to eat in place of a gluten-free
right.
diet.
Right. So is the point really to stabilize your insulin levels or blood sugar levels? Is that what we're talking about?
You want your insulin levels to be as low as possible because insulin is a storage hormone and it's an anabolic hormone.
Okay. So anabolic means what?
Anabolic means it causes growth of things.
Growth of things like the size of the stomach?
Absolutely. It's mm-hmm. a storage hormone. So basically, when insulin goes up, all excess calories mm-hmm. are stored as fat. And especially belly fat. That's why the book is called Wheat Belly. Mm-hmm. Wheat is definitely stored mostly as belly fat.
Okay.
It used to be beer belly.
Hence the beer belly. I know.
Where does beer come from? Mm-hmm. Grain and wheat.
Dang.
I mean,
I'm not going to be able to eat or drink anything fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, genetically, we're engineered for periods of starvation because if you go back, 2,000-3,000 years, mm-hmm. food was not as abundant. So our bodies like to hold on to all the calories.
Absolutely.
Now we go fast forward to, 2013, and we have all, Twinkies,
no famines.
All these food, there's no famine. And that's why we have an obesity issue. We have so much food. Our bodies are, because of the high insulin levels and eating all the carbs, we're storing all that fat
right.
and obesity problems in the U.S.
And this dramatic metabolic syndrome that we have, which is exactly that. Hmm. Obesity, hypertension, high cholesterol, borderline diabetes, basically.
Right.
So it's got to do with eating the carbs and driving the insulin very high, and then being hungry 2 hours later and wanting to do it all over again.
Right. Okay. So that explains the weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other issues.
Exactly.
Right?
Gluten is not just a weight issue. That's a big part of it. But in my practice, once I was exposed to this in December, I started looking around at my practice and realizing that patients that come in with rashes. A lot of eczematous rashes. We'll just say, oh, it's eczema. And in the old days, I would just give them some cortisone and say, go on your way. And then I started to realize that gluten is a major issue for this.
No kidding.
Yes.
I have a little patch of it, like right on my ankle. Can't get rid of it for the life of me. I had it for a couple of years.
Gluten. Elbows. Oh, I had a patient with psoriatic arthritis mm-hmm. who was on the major psoriatic drugs like Enbrel.
Uh-huh.
These are in different shots,
mm-hmm.
and he came to me and was just looking to get balance, somehow balanced out.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at his diet, we looked at his hormones,
mm-hmm.
we got him on some testosterone, but I also said, look, I think you should stop your gluten diet and see what happens. And he was like, no, come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you say to you? Yeah, what do they say to you?
That's in everything I eat. Yeah. You're crazy. How can that be?
Deer in the headlights.
Yeah, right. So what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, look, just try it. Because I tell you, everybody I've done this with, within 2 weeks, they see a difference. So he said, okay, I'll do it for 2 weeks and see. Kim comes back a month later. His rashes are going away and he's getting off of his medicines.
Oh, wow.
A month after that, 2 months later, psoriasis is gone and he's now off of his psoriatic medicines. So that's one example.
Wow.
Patients that have irritable bowels is huge,
mm-hmm.
very huge because the gliadin and the gluten is super inflammatory to some people in their intestines mm-hmm. and they know it immediately. They may not know it now, but once they start to pay attention to what they're eating
mm-hmm.
and they eat the bread and they eat that sandwich and they eat whatever that's got the gluten in it and they have their stomach cramps and their digestive issues or maybe they get some diarrhea,
mm-hmm.
Then they start to see that. Joint aches.
Oh, I'm curious about that
joint
one.
Aches
I have
are
a bad
huge.
Knee too. I've got a lot of problems that were that could
yeah.
just all be solved.
You're
so this
old.
Was yeah.
Dr. Ebner.
So this was a good one. So I had a patient 2 years ago who came to me for some elbow injections. Mm-hmm. And also she said she decided to try a gluten-free diet. She had read about it somewhere. Came back, she went on the gluten-free diet, came back to see me a couple months later, and her elbow issues were gone. And I said, great, that's great, stay on that diet. So she decided to stay on it for a little while, came back to see me a couple months after that to do something else. And we got talking about it, and she said, well, I asked her how her elbows were doing, and she said, I asked her if she's still on the gluten-free diet, and she said yes, because at one point she thought, well, I'm not really sure if this is making a difference. Mm-hmm. And so she thought she would try some bread and different other products that had gluten in it. And within 5 days, her elbows flared up.
No kidding.
5 days. So she got the message. She understood that this is significant for her, and a lot of people it is. I have patients that they will come in with brain fog.
Okay. You just is, like non-clarity.
Brain fog is just they can't quite focus. They don't have quite clear thinking.
Are they blonde?
Memories.
Cause that, sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm blonde. I can say that.
I can't. So, so they're not quite focused. And like, if you look at celiac disease, one of the main issues is a lot of mental disorders, anywhere from severe depression to anxiety to, they just severely can't focus. Well, this is a slight degree of that. And we take people off the gluten and those symptoms resolve.
Well, so interestingly, the stomach and the brain are tightly regulated together.
Serotonin's
like
a big
connected?
Part of those two.
Well, they're connected. Why? Because a lot of the foods that we digest have things like glutamine in it. And glutamine is a precursor of many of the neurotransmitters in our brain. Mm-hmm. So if you're imbalanced with your GI tract, you know, a lot of times you'll be imbalanced with your brain because you can't make the neurotransmitters to. And so that may be this brain fog you're talking about.
Now, is glutamine related to gluten?
No, glutamine is another compound that's in our food that's that we digest. But okay. If your gut is if you have an irritable bowel syndrome, and you can't digest it, then you can't absorb the food. It's going to affect your neurotransmitters and how
it's
you
not
feel.
Not going to be firing at a rapid pace.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we can't keep up with you at that point. Okay.
Yeah. After a couple glasses of wine.
Yeah. Slow you down. Okay.
So what other ways does the gluten affect our health?
Well, I think mostly it's a very inflammatory molecule. So anywhere that there can be inflammation in a person, so for example, joint inflammation, the skin is evidence of that inflammation for some people. Mm-hmm.
Acne?
Acne, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So that might be something.
My daughter notices it immediately if she has gluten.
No kidding.
We talk about your intestines, like there's a leaky gut syndrome where there's supposed to be a barrier between the food that's in the gut and what gets through to the blood. And the gluten is very inflammatory to that barrier. And so it opens up the barrier to allow larger particles to get through. And that creates a whole inflammatory process in the body that then requires a lot of energy. So basically, a lot of people that come in, they're fatigued and tired, and I take them off the gluten, then that allows them to save their energy and not have to fight this inflammatory process, and their fatigue will get better too.
Okay. Well,
the good news for our audience, if you want to test this hypothesis, you don't have to sign any long-term contract.
Right.
You don't have to buy anything. You just need to do a gluten fast for 2 weeks and then keep a diary and see, how it affects your health.
That's exactly it. It's not, there is some blood testing that you can do to check for food sensitivities as opposed to allergies. These are food sensitivities, and those can identify gluten issues. But it's much easier than that. If you feel that you might have a gluten sensitivity, then you basically stop eating the gluten, and you'll notice whatever your problems are will get better. Mm-hmm. And again, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks.
Right.
And then if you're curious, you can try reintroducing the gluten and see what happens.
Oh,
but it might not be fun.
Playing with fire. So we'll have to, the next half of the show, let's kind of address that. But I do want to say one thing that was in the book that caught my attention too is another issue was hair loss.
Yes, hair loss.
Which I didn't realize was even on the game board.
Again,
there.
It's that inflammatory problem that the gluten is. I say that the gliadin is just a very inflammatory molecule. The gliadin that we have nowadays, as opposed to the gliadin 100 years ago.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
We just aren't designed to digest and
fake
metabolize
foods.
These fake foods.
Right. Which begs the question about the whole GMO thing, which we could do a whole show about at a later time. But, genetically modified foods, can our bodies really process them? And obviously with gluten, It's a no-go there. So, audience members, stay with us. We will be right back to talk about how to adjust your diet in a way that doesn't have you just eating ice cubes. So stay with us.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. We've had an awesome show today, and it's not quite done, so stay with us here. But we're talking a lot more about gluten and what that's doing to your system. And I'm joined by Dr. Larry Emder and Dr. Aiello today. And so we're digging into it a little bit more. And as we've talked about what gluten is, that it's not, you know, the wheat of the yesteryears, our bodies are having a little harder time digesting it and it's causing some problems. But Dr. Emder, you had a couple questions you wanted to ask,
I mean,
Dr.
Aiello. This show today has me all revved up because I'm like a diet freak.
You're so concerned. I see you sweating.
I have another diet issue I can bring to my wife. But I guess my first question is, like, what percentage of the population has a gluten sensitivity? Is it low? Is it high? What is it?
You know, Larry, I think it's about 80 to 85% of the people.
That's huge.
When they start to really look at their health and see what kind of problems they might be having and where the source of those problems might be.
What kind of symptoms would the common person have if they have a gluten sensitivity?
Basically, it's a multitude of symptoms. First off, if you've got a beer belly or a wheat belly, then you've got a gluten issue.
Wow.
No kidding. It's that common, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So also maybe some skin issues, eczema, joint aches, various joint aches.
Well,
acne.
I have a problem with, like, I call it, you know, inflammatory bowel disease, cramping in the morning. I always thought it was a milk allergy, but sometimes even if I stop the milk, I still get that issue. Could that be a gluten issue?
Absolutely. I've had a number of people, I've taken off gluten and their irritable bowels go away.
Oh, that's huge.
Completely go away.
Wow.
Oh, sinuses. I had one lady that could not sleep at night for years. She had drippy sinuses, constantly clogged up. She was having insomnia because of it, and she came to me. She'd been to different people on the nasal sprays, and I said, okay, just do this for me. Just try going gluten-free. You'll see within 2 to 4 weeks if it helps. Saw her back in a month, and she was over 80% better and sleeping at night with no problems. Just had a little bit of drainage.
Wow.
Now, sinuses and asthma. I mean, in your business, wow, with the pulmonary business, asthma is huge as far as gluten. Very inflammatory to asthmatics.
You know, my patient population is dropping as it is.
I know. You've solved all their problems.
I'm going to have to go into the radio business. Yeah. So can you describe for us like a typical diet? What do you eat for? Are you gluten-free?
Mostly I'm gluten-free, yes.
So what do you actually eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner then?
Well, so for breakfast, I'll have, if I'm eating at home, I might have an egg and an apple. And if I'm on the run, I might just have an apple. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have that much for breakfast. But for lunch, it's basically salads.
Wow.
With a little bit of protein. Could be like a chef salad with some turkey or ham or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or and then dinner is some protein and a vegetable and some salad. And we don't really have any more bread in the house. With my daughter's gluten-free and my wife doesn't tolerate it well at all. Mm. So the only gluten I have is when if I go out to eat. And
okay.
Sometimes I'll eat the bread.
Do you really?
Oh
my gosh, that's so against the rules.
I try not to.
Oh, he admitted it though.
So you can cheat a little bit on this diet?
Yeah, because my level of gluten sensitivity is not as high as some people. And I don't feel it that bad.
So how hard is it for our audience to go gluten-free?
So basically, the food companies have gotten smarter, and they see this coming along like a big freight train. So they've come up with a lot of gluten-free products.
Alternatives.
Mm-hmm. And there's the Udi's breads that are made, I think they're made from potato starch and not the wheat starch. There's pastas that are made from corn starch or rice. There's the quinoa that's readily available. So if people want to still eat similar patterns that they have, they can still do it. They can have a sandwich with a gluten-free bread, or they can have pasta and meatball and sauce with some gluten-free pastas.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue becomes one of the big issues that America has is the metabolic syndrome, and that has to do with the rising insulin rates
mm-hmm.
when you eat too much starch. And that's because, again, the starches are just straight sugar to your body. It's not like eating a vegetable or fruit where the carbohydrates are locked up in that fiber, and it takes your body a long time to digest that, and it actually takes energy to digest that fiber to get to that carbohydrate. So you get a smooth rise of sugar in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
But when you eat the gluten-free foods, you're still eating a starch. So you have to be really careful of not necessarily converting your diet to going off of gluten. While that's better as far as starches go, if you still go on a gluten-free diet and eat all those starches before, if you're trying to lose weight, you're not going to lose weight because mm-hmm. you're still spiking your insulin. You're still storing that extra calories as fat.
You're still going to be hungry.
And you're still probably going to be hungry a couple hours later. So basically, I tell my patients, eat like a caveman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a motto I've had for several years now. Because what happened, cavemen, they didn't have ovens, mm-hmm. so they couldn't bake breads, they couldn't make donuts, they didn't have fryers, they weren't growing vast fields of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
They basically ate protein that they could catch, so they were expending energy catching it. It was organic, obviously. Mm-hmm. They were eating nuts and berries and fruits and vegetables that they could gather.
Hmm.
And that's the diet that our bodies are made to process.
Nice.
We are not meant to process large amounts of carbohydrates in the form of starch.
Right. And I think along the same lines, the book was saying that it also has a lot of corn syrup in it too, which
you have to be careful of the corn syrups. Right.
Right. Just like for flavoring and stuff. So these things, though they're gluten-free, they're still kind of like a treat, kind of. They're not
that's
something
the problem,
that to
right.
install, you
right.
know, put in your diet every day.
Yeah, so my
right?
wife has a policy. If she goes to the store and reads labels now, if she can't read what that ingredient is on the label, she doesn't buy it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it gets you to a lot of your basic fruits and vegetables and your proteins that are
She's
not...
She's at the grocery store for a long time.
So it gets you to a lot of the basic stuff now.
So were you able to lose any weight on this diet?
Absolutely. Everybody that goes gluten-free probably will lose about 10 pounds in the first month.
Wow.
If they have 10 pounds to lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what about beer? If I'm a beer drinker.
Beer's an issue.
Because that's made from wheat, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. So if you want alcohol, it can be potato vodka instead of the grain vodka or red wine.
Okay.
Because the white wines tend to be a little sweeter.
They do have gluten-free beers now, though, don't they?
I'm not sure it's possible.
I think, they're kind of everything.
But you know what's interesting, and we were talking about this during the break, is once you go on these diets and change how you eat,
mm-hmm.
your body changes what it desires. Because when you eat starches, there's really no other value to that food except calories. There's no minerals and there's no vitamins in those foods. Once you switch your diet over to eating what was a colorful diet on your plate, fruits and vegetables, a lot of color. It's not white like rice and potatoes and bread. You start to eat more vegetable. I mean, you start to eat more minerals and vitamins, and your body starts to enjoy that, and your body starts to ask for more of it, and you don't start to crave the other foods that, like you've noticed when you went vegetarian.
Yeah, and the ballpark hot dog.
It's, right.
You never crave that, and it doesn't taste good.
It does not, and you don't enjoy it like you used to. And so that happens with alcohol. You don't enjoy the beers. In fact, now when I eat beer, I get itchy drink hands. Beer. When I drink beer, I don't eat. I get itchy hands now.
Do you really?
I do, and it never used to bother me.
Huh. I hope I would get itchy hands. I won't want it.
Yeah. So the diet modification is an issue because it's kind of crazy, but gluten is in about everything that is in a grocery store. If you don't shop the perimeter of the grocery store, gluten is in everything that's in the middle because they put it in everything because people will eat more of it. Mm-hmm. And I found this out because we were at a restaurant and I thought this was crazy. My wife had asked for gluten-free soy sauce.
Soy sauce? Gluten in soy sauce?
Soy sauce. And I thought, oh, come on, that's just going a little too far, isn't it? This gluten-free thing? And the waitress took a step back and said, I have to go to the back to get the gluten-free soy sauce.
Oh, wow. Like they have it.
They had it. But I thought to myself, this was before I had been lectured, had heard Davis's lecture. I thought, what in the world are they putting wheat in soy sauce for?
Hmm.
What kind of benefit can that be? Well, if you start to put all the pieces together, it's in there as a filler. And because people start, it satiates them more and they start to eat more of whatever is there.
Gotcha.
You know, if I want to make a diagnosis of celiac disease, it's not easy. You got to send the patient for an endoscopy, get a small bowel biopsy. But evidently there's blood tests that were not quite as definitive that one can do if they're looking at the gluten sensitivity. Can you describe those tests and what do you do in your office?
So basically we can do blood tests that look for food sensitivities, and they look for dairy sensitivities, or fruits and vegetables, proteins, and gluten. And so we can do the blood test, and if there's someone has any sensitivity to these foods, it'll come up positive. And that'll help us to guide them. And for a lot of people, it's they have to see something in black and white. Because if they actually see in black and white that they have this issue, it makes it easier for them to go to the store and not grab those foods. So that's been something that we've incorporated a lot in.
Well, for our audience, if they're interested in hearing more about the gluten diets with Dr. Aiello or doing some of the blood testing, he can be reached at the San Diego Center for Integrative Medicine, which is 8875 La Mesa Boulevard in La Mesa, California. And you're welcome to come and see me about the healthy aging issues. And I can be reached to my website at Healthy Aging Medical Associates. And thanks so much for listening today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kendra.
Yeah,
thank you, Larry.
Thanks for coming on. Very excited. And for our audience members out there, if they enjoyed today's show or have any questions, we'd love to get your feedback. You can email me at kvallone@plumh.com. That's K, V as in Victor, A-L-L-O-N-E, at plum, plumh.com. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. Join Kendra every Saturday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ.